Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
It's just gone 10 to 7. Thank you for staying with Kaya Biz. Helping you secure your future is brought to you by Alan Gray, 50 years of long-term investing. Alan Gray is an authorized financial services provider. We get into our investment feature now, and as many employees start planning for the year ahead, it is a good time to think about how to make your money work harder, especially if you are expecting a salary increase at year end. Leveraging learnings from behavioral science can help long-term investors make smarter financial decisions that pay off over time. Now, by making small, gradual changes to your investment contributions, you can turn short-term progress into long-term financial security. I'm now joined by Belinda Carbot, Group Savings and Investment Specialist at Alan Gray, and she's joining us to share practical tips on how to build on this progress and boost your long-term investment outcomes. A very good evening to you, Belinda. Thank you so much for your time.
Good evening, Sumitra, and good evening to your listeners.
So, Belinda, why do many investors struggle to increase their investment contributions even when they earn more?
I think that's a great question. And I think to explore an understanding of this, we need to look at behavioral finance. But first of all, what is this term behavioral finance? Mm. It merges psychology and economics to explain real world financial decision making. And ultimately, we need to understand why people are not saving. What are the mental hurdles? And more importantly, what are the behavioral biases that are preventing us from savings? Because if we have an understanding of this, then we can hopefully flip the behavioral challenges into behavioral solutions, which will then ultimately mean better retirement outcomes for individuals.
I want to explore that a little bit more because, I mean, when you talk about behavioral science, understanding, education, financial education plays a huge role here, because only once you understand your finances and what's happening in your finances can you actually make informed decisions.
Well, Sumitra, that's a very valid point. Very important to understand your financial situation. But if we lean on the work done by Richard Thaler and Shlomo Benazzi, they've actually identified three behavioral biases that actually inhibit us to making good financial decisions. And one of them is this present bias. And I think on the previous call, you were speaking about the Black Friday specials. And present bias is the tendency to value immediate rewards more highly than future ones. And that influences choices and behavior. So people tend to spend money now rather than save for retirement due to the preference of immediate gratification. So with Black Friday, we've been lured into all of these savings, and it just takes away our ability to save in the future because we want the immediate gratification of getting that pair of shoes that's on a 15% discount.
So when you understand these biases and you understand your behavior as an individual, how then do you start to change that? What kind of strategy should investors look to overcome some of these biases?
So again, looking to the work done by Richard Thaler and Shlomo Benazzi, they came up with this concept of save more tomorrow. So I've spoken about present bias. They also identified two other behavioral biases. One is called inertia. You know, individuals stick with the current choices. We're quite resistant to change. And then the other one is this concept of loss aversion, where people feel losses like more deeply than equivalent gains. And how this has an application in everyday life is loss aversion discourages savings as it feels like a reduction in your take-home pay. And that's like a big hit, despite the future benefits of saving for the long term. So they've devised a program that takes into account present bias, inertia, and loss aversion. And they've created this program called Save More Tomorrow. And what they've done, it's a very simple solution. A member or an individual, when they get their salary increase in the future, if they have a retirement savings at work, they then increase their retirement savings just by 1%. And it's automatic, which overcomes the inertia behavioral finance. It overcomes the loss aversion, because if you're getting a 3 or 4% salary increase and you're allocating 1% to your retirement fund, you aren't feeling a reduction in your take-home pay and overcoming present bias, because you're going to do it at a future date. So it's a very simple solution that over the long term can have a profound impact on your future self, because you're benefiting in two ways. One, from increasing your contributions, and then two, the magic of compound interest over the long term.
How do you get over that? How do you actually take that next step? Yes, you've got a salary increase, you can put it an extra percent. So I understand the fact that, you know, because of your behavior, you're sitting in this present bias, right? But if you are banking on that salary increase, you've already spent the money and you really need that money to even out things for you at the moment. How then, I think the question is, how then can investors do that without feeling the pain, because you've already put yourself in a position where you need that salary increase that you can't actually put it away to save? How do you get over that kind of hump?
I think it's really coming back to your initial point around understanding your finances. And I think if you're feeling particularly tight, you know, look at your budget, have two columns, decide what is an imperative, what's a need, what's a want. Maybe it means buying a couple of less coffees each month that allows you then to contribute 1%. Maybe it's the odd dinner. I think if anybody looks at their budget, you might find a little bit of extra spend or a little bit of extra fat that possibly can be trimmed to go towards your retirement savings.
What other changes can you make? I was speaking earlier about the fact that sometimes we save, even if it's tight or you're getting a little extra money, you do put some money away. But then you also have the problem where you don't want to let go of that money. But you are not growing. You're not growing that little bucket of money. So what are the other ways to actually get out there and invest that money so that it grows for you?
So there are a couple of ways. I mean, if you have a debit order, you can just ask your investment provider to have an automatic escalation of a couple of percent each year. I think also you can maybe have an accountability partner. You can speak to a financial advisor that can guide you, can help you, keep you on track to stay the course, and also to be constantly reviewing your financial situation to ensure that you are living within your means, and not spending excessively on things that we might be discretionary spending that are not exactly what we need every day.
I was quite encouraged that the schools are now starting to do a bit of financial education within their curriculum. And because you would find that young people coming into the marketplace don't necessarily have this kind of education. So for those coming in, starting off fresh, and you could start your investment journey like really early, what is the simplest way to actually commit yourself? I mean, does it go back to that financial education, learning how to budget, understanding the basics of finance before you get into investing?
You know, Sumatra, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I think in a schooling curriculum, if you can understand budgeting, the money that you get in, how much you can spend, I think that is probably the first step in financial freedom, is knowing how much you can spend, and when you go over your limits, you know that you need to pull it back. And if we can have good financial practice of staying within a budget. And when you draw up your budget, you can allocate a few percent to your first debit order that might even start in school if you do some chores at home, or maybe you sell lemonade at your local flea market or whatever it may be. But understanding how to budget, already incorporating the discipline of saving at a very early age. And I think the key thing here is that if you start small, you can grow big. Over time, simple habits can dramatically boost your retirement savings. And ultimately, you know, you've got this wonderful benefit of compound interest. And ultimately, your future self is going to thank you for the discipline that you exercise today.
I always say that once you actually start, I know it's tough to actually get there, but once you actually start, it's so addictive. It's amazing to watch your money grow for you. When you talk about that compounded effect, it's amazing to actually watch it. So I think the point is just start. Belinda, it was so lovely to chat to you. Thank you very much for your time this evening. Belinda Calvert, Group Savings Specialist at Allan Gray.
Thank you.
With over five decades of investing experience, Allan Gray remains focused on building long-term wealth for its clients by pursuing long-term returns without taking undue risk. Allan Gray, more than 50 years of long-term investing. Allan Gray is an authorized FSP.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.